My guest for this episode is Jack Cross, an entheogenic evangelist who writes about the geometric structure of the English Latin alphabet and logos, the logic of word, and the personification of. Jack is the co-founder of Awake.net, a platform for the entheogenic community. I will put a link for his contact below. Well, Jack offered to take a few mushrooms before this interview, which resulted in a fascinating talk on the occulted structure of the alphabet, something most people take for granted and really never think to question. Well, I think you will find what Jack has to say very illuminating. He is absolutely brilliant. And I think, like me, you will want to listen to this episode more than once to really absorb what he is in touch with. You can find him at thepolemicsofjack.awake.net. And polemics is P-O-L-E-M-I-C-S. So thepolemicsofjack.awake.net. I hope you enjoy this first hour.
I don't consider altered states a hallucination. I consider it a visual language. And what I'm doing in that visual language is I'm through a language that already exists, English, my language, discovering that this language is not structured arbitrarily. They wouldn't do that. Oh, I've never thought of this, that, oh, the language I use has this other level to it that's hidden. And, you know, you're basically deciphering, I would say, secrets. This deciphering thing is really interesting and related to how I see and related to the polarity of Christianity. Christianity is a dualistic religion. It has an antagonist and a protagonist, Christ and the devil, also known as Lu. Lu is light. Cipher, P's and F's transliterate. You are ciphering light. And the reason these are kept apart on this pole is because they are the extremes of polarity. Pole, LA, and a right. And what you're doing is you are collapsing this polarity and this devil guy and this Christ guy, which are completely projections of our consciousness. This is a myth. This is a story about our consciousness, like all of the other remnants of our existence. Nuclear weapons, war, you know, everything is a manifestation of human consciousness. And so is this story. And this story I see is the best story I know to hide the information in, because they do it in churches, they do it in cathedrals, they do it in art. And they did it, strangely enough, in the alphabet. And this shape is what I drew out of sort of figuring this out. I don't say it as figuring it out. What I really think is that you're seeing how things are for the first time in your life, in my life. I love that cat. That's so cute. And cats are wonderful. And it's funny because when I look back now, I think, okay, so at 33 years old, you thought you knew what we knew. You thought you knew what you knew, and you knew what your society knows. Somehow you thought that. And I look back and I think, yeah, I did have a pretty good idea what we think. And it's even scarier today. It's you know, like when you talk about people tell me you haven't read a book about this. And I think, yeah, I could write a book about it, but nobody would read it. The what's going on is so amazing to me that this could happen in the United States. It's just like every day, it's complete astonishment. Sorry, Terrence, I live in a state of perpetual astonishment. Anyway, that's the core of this thing, the key of life, the union of maleness and femaleness within your own mind. Oh yeah, we were talking about what was that? Ra masturbating himself into existence. So this is the idea of raising your consciousness, and having this experience, like maybe before psychedelics, I definitely would thought of the opposite females as in an objective way, like you're objectifying who they are because it's a mystery. So you're naturally drawn to your opposite, except for today, where people don't even think they're binary because they don't understand biology or anything else. Yeah, that's so to do this, I think it has required, like when I first started taking psychedelics, I thought, oh, everybody should do this. This would just solve everything. And as I continued to do it, and got deeper and deeper in larger doses and had to deal with this archetypal reality of Christianity, of this devil and son of God, well, however I saw, I didn't see it like that. And then I would see these things merge, and then they realize that this is a projection. This is a projection of my consciousness. This is a story that has been passed down through time to unlock. And it's a pretty good story, and it hides the truth really well. And if you penetrate it and talk about it, it has a way of protecting itself from you. And what that is this warning about false prophets. Christianity has a number of structural things that will protect the story, because the real job of Christianity, and probably of any religion that isn't based on knowledge, is to pass itself through time. And this is one of the weird elements of this experience, is that in a death and resurrection, what I would call a death or resurrection experience, you are experiencing a sense of the suspension of time. This is why there's a letter U between two S's in the word suspense, and the pence part means five. In the center, you are suspended in this crucible, this cup, this holy grail of you. You are the alchemist. You are the body, the chemicals, AL, compass square, the chemistry that you use to find it. You found the carpenter's tools, the compass and square, by altering your consciousness with a chemical, because we're electrochemical. And you have this sensation of the end of time. This is Terence's popularization of the eschaton, the end, scat, shit. That's this end point, and the end point can only be found in this illusion of linear time, and you're experiencing it, and you're doing it in a couple of ways. like Joseph Campbell would call this crucifixion a motif. And there's another good one, which is dismemberment. And what, like in dismemberment, there's some beautiful things in shamanism. One is called soul retrieval. And you're basically going into your mind and you're seeing these things in your life. This is probably all redundant to you, but I'm going to tell you it as I see it. And you can see it in re again, tree, re tree, re crucify, repent, go back to the center, go to the number five. If you have a circle and you draw an S inside of it, you have yin and yang, again, male and femaleness. And it's the S is the dividing line, five, slightly stylized, is to repent. Isn't this thing like, okay, I'm sorry. No, it's you fully comprehending your error. And what you see is that the whole fucking thing is an error, because it's all an approximation of a geometric perfection that can't be had out here. It's something metaphysical that is perfect. And everything else is an approximation, including you. So we try. We T-R-I, we three. The cross, the third ordinate, the way, we try. Triangulation. That's what I say. Out of this experience, many, many, many times, I once bought 1,000 hits of LSD. And it's a weird story with that. And every week, I would do a journey, really a massive journey. And I would write. And I would literally write, lay on the bed or sit on the bed against the wall. And Lakshmi would say, "What are you writing? How can you write?" And I said, I'm writing this thing called The Polemics of Jack. And I don't know if you know, but polemics means war in Greek, and it's usually referring to a religious argument. And it has a pole in it, and a mic is something you speak into. And my inside joke is the polemic is the serpent speaking. The pole is speaking. And I am taking notes. And I started to write this thing, originally this thing called The Polemics of Jack, which is this big description of the psychological state of a death and resurrection experience. This book that I do want to write, more of my personal journey notes, I want to write this book called The Art of Death and Resurrection. And it's about coming apart, dismembering yourself, and remembering yourself. Mem in Hebrew is symbolized by water. It's the feminine. We are baptized in water. Ba means spirit. The spirit is going into the water, literally. And the P and the T, the pole and the cross, the jack pole and the cross, are why we are baptized. And what we are baptized in, just like an altered state, is an altered state because it's trying to bring your mind to the A and the L, the tools of the carpenter who died, like you're dying right now, on this cross. The T and ER is a suffix, the A-L-T, the alt. Like I'm on the alt right now, suddenly. that's ultimately what you're looking for. You're mating with light. In ultimate, there's some funny words like solution, soul, lu is light, change the letters around. The solution is to be full of consciousness and you'll find the solution. that's how it works. The reason letters are shaped the way they are remnants of this experience. They're like artifacts. And it's really interesting that, normally as a kid or a person, I would read the dictionary and think that, I would never even imagine that I have some understanding of a definition of a word or something about the word that would exceed what the people that wrote the dictionary would know. But I started to see all these biases in the definitions of words, that they're constructed in certain ways where they actually mean something different than what they are claiming to mean, like hallucination or like the word hallelujah. I deciphered the word hallelujah for this Jewish guy I know, and he goes, "Oh my God, that's exactly what the Hebrew definition of hallelujah is, and why it is." Let's see, do I have your sound?
Yes, you do. I'm just being quiet because talking. I'm just being polite.
I'm sorry to talk so much.
No, this is what I want. This is amazing. Keep going.
Okay. So, like in hallelujah, the H's are breaths. You can take them off. This is why you see the word hallelujah written sometimes with A, starts with A. So A, like the alphabet, L, this is a compass and square. The transition in L, E, Lu is light, J, A is God. And I'll explain why that is. So what's happening is you're making this exclamation, hallelujah. And the geniuses use the morphemes of God, light, and the compass and square in the word because you found it. It's like saying Eureka. Eureka, I found it. Hallelujah, I found it. And what it is these three morphemes. J-A, this is your pineal gland. This is the pole that goes inside of it. This was put on by the French in the Middle Ages. It's called a minuscule. What they say ostensibly to differentiate an I tilted to the right from this new letter called a J, which they intentionally put in as the 10th letter. Because, we go into an altered state, we have intention. You write your intention down. You think about your intention. Well, that's good, but notice what you're doing. They've encoded the journey, the J of journey, in the number 10, the completion of a cycle in a decimal system. This is genius, how this works. And our consciousness is filled with these things. And we, what does he say? The kingdom of heaven is spread upon the earth and men see it not. This is the case. And, as my consciousness became aware of seeing in this geometric archetypal way, I realized that it's all an altered state. We are alive and we are basically on a certain channel because I have to drive the car. And there are other channels. And I have seeing this, the word Christ has a lot of energy to it in my mind. It basically means anointing. You're getting anointed, or you are anointing yourself. I think we have rituals to anoint, But the real anointing, this is a symbol, this anointing or washing of feet or praying five times a day or wearing a cross or making the symbol of the cross. These are symbols. These are artifacts of high consciousness. And, you know, this is why we say, Your Highness, this is not a mistake, or royalty, this idea of royal blue, of the merging of colors, like red is considered the full extension of the light principle. This is why Santa changed the letters around. Satan are both red because they are at their fullness. This is symbolic language, metaphysical language. And you have the highest figure, this satanic type figure, and which your mind can easily visualize and be afraid of. And then you have his humiliation, which is Santa. Santa is this fat, jolly man that is, I call it an archetypal humiliation. We can take Santa, who gives us our presence at the base of a cone, a conifer, for Christmas. These are symbols that we live around, unable to see that this is a state of consciousness, not something that occurred 2,000 years ago. It's completely irrelevant that it occurred 2,000 years ago or is related to this person. So I'm not talking about Christianity so much. I'm saying Christianity is talking about geometry that is hidden inside of it. And so in understanding this, sometimes I think that people think I'm talking about Christianity or think I'm Christian evangelist or something like that. And I sort of am. You know, I've talked to 20,000 people in San Diego. I drove for 4 years and I picked up 20,000 people, and I described myself as a psychedelic evangelist impersonating an Uber driver. And I, based on how far someone is going, I can create this little hologram for them. And you know, I got thousands of comments like, "Holy shit, this is like the best enlightening ride I've ever had," and stuff like that. Totally psychedelic, and it's really funny. But you know, I couldn't stand to drive without talking to people about this stuff. So, yeah, the letters of why they are that way, they're an interesting artifact of a state of consciousness. And it's funny that, like, to talk about it and try to do it linearly to people, you have to say things like implication. You have to show why this would be like this. Like, for instance, if you look up the letter A in the dictionary, it says that it is an ox's head because it first appeared upside down and tilted to the right. Like when I'm saying tilted to the right, you have a R-I-T-E, U-W-R-I-T, you are R-I-G-H-T, you tilt to the right. So I tilt to the right, J. This letter J, and what's it doing? It is averaging the relationship between maleness and femaleness, vertical and horizontalness, in this androgynous mindset way. So you can understand the whole picture. Whole, holy, sacred means whole. And what it's referring to is these hemispheres of our brain, this bicameral brain system, one part sees in a certain way. It sees, and the other part is abstracted. It creates these symbols of letter and number. They don't exist. They're completely metaphysical. They're abstractions. AB, alphabet, ST, serpent, tree, the cross, and you're on it. And while you're on it, you're seeing these relationships. I don't have to create them. I get to see them. Some other people, some bad dudes, created them out of nothing. Think of that. And the weight of past, of the past, and the intensity of consciousness to bring something out as a system of order, ordering consciousness. Wow, that's incredible. Well, my task is easy. I just see it like, oh, holy shit. Holy, the end, the eschaton. do you have any thoughts or questions?
Say more about these guys who came up with this.
Well, the way I kind of feel it is, you know, I've had some really weird visual type experiences. I'll just tell you three things. One is actually a little vision I had, and it was so weird. It's not something it's like a movie type thing where I felt like the clouds were opening up in a circle, and there were these old men sitting at the edge of the circle looking down at me. And I was sitting in a house in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I had taken San Pedro that I grew and made. And I was sitting in the bathroom because it was dark there and I had all this geometry going on. And I grew up in Los Angeles, and I said, Los Angeles, the city of angels, San Pedro, Saint Peter, I have swallowed Saint San Pedro, the port city to the city of Los Angeles, Sacramento. And I could feel Indians laughing underneath my house. And like, okay, the white guy got it. And this feeling that I was being initiated by these old men in the sky. Also an experience that I was turned upside down and thrown into the sky by a woman, this erotic, sacred feminine, I would describe it. Way bigger than boobs. it's an interesting feeling. You're basically feeling something that you've never felt before in this use of a psychedelic. But the other two ways I would think about this, or I felt about it, is in reading the I Ching. The I Ching is a very difficult book to understand. There's a couple of reasons why. Is the language is really beautiful and very transcendental. It's encoded. It's like a koan. Each one is like a koan. And it's also a bunch of mathematical relationships. And a weird thing is that, so if you have a cross and you stick a pole in it, you have this thing called a jack that we play with as children. And that's why we play with it as children. If you took a cone and you stuck a jack inside of it, that would be the architecture of what I'm talking about. Simple thing. Well, that pole would be considered the fifth and sixth prongs of this thing called a jack. And hexagram 56 in the I Ching is called the traveling stranger. And you see these relationships like this, like, oh my God, this thing is massively encoded. And my mind tries to comprehend it as if it were a single person writing this, which I have no idea if that's true or false, or if people would get together, journey together, and work on creating this abstraction. But when I first encountered the I Ching, it was like, what is this? And its language seemed very specific and esoteric. But when I started taking psychedelics and reading it while I was high, just like the dictionary, I started to see these mathematical relationships and the decency of consciousness of this person, and also the intense love to give that state of consciousness to generations, like to create an alphabet, to even write anything that is good. The effort that you're taking, if you just think of it in a linear way, is serious. You're probably spending 6 months, a year, 2 years writing something that 2,000 people will read, unless you're Stephen King or D. Rawlings or whoever she is. Being that type of an author, for me, is not that attractive. In fact, I think about this that, you know, it's really funny and a little ironic that we think of this Jesus Christ character as a personification of word. He's the Logos, and not a single word is attributed to him. There are only words in the Bible. He never wrote a word. And that's because this is a myth. And you can understand the language of myths by their nomenclature. I'll give you a couple examples. I'm just wandering around. You stop me at any time. So, you know, you look at this idea. I wrote this on my website in the about. I didn't, one thing I don't do in my writing is I don't make anything about me. This is not about me. I'm not very important. The math is really important. To say you're somebody, that's one thing. To have the math, that's quite another. And I have the math of this experience. And so if you read my things, if you go to about, I wrote, if you're interested in neo-shamanism, same as the old shamanism, or Christian mysticism, or demysticism, or the geometric structure of the letters of the English Latin alphabet, logos, the logic of word, the person of, if you're a pilgrim or lost, maybe we can walk together for a while. Share notes. Or maybe we can walk together for a spell, share notes. In my version of the story, Terence McKenna plays John the Baptist, and the Jordan River is a metaphor. And this in my life, this is what happened to me. I was very lucky to meet Terence McKenna and be inspired by his linguistic skills. Incredible. And as I journeyed, because his mind wasn't destroyed, I'm going to do it. I saw that what I was talking about, what I was experiencing, is what he was referring to, but he did not have the math of what it was. He understood to a degree what alchemy was about. Same thing with Joseph Campbell. They as more of a physical academic type person, understand what they're talking about. And Terence, you know, I wouldn't, I'm sure he's had amazing experiences, but when he's talking about language, I can see that he knows what the subject is. He knows where the road is, but he wasn't able to bring the math out of it. I think his emphasis, like I could have a different emphasis. I've noticed that, like if I think about my body and this idea of diagnosing my aches and pains or illnesses or just my general health or something like that, I could definitely see how, yeah, that's the other part of shamanism is related to medicine. Med is middle, and you are in this middle sin of diagnosing yourself. And I can see how it's related to your consciousness and how your consciousness is related to your physical health. And I basically optimize my life that way. So I because my mind saw this way and I saw that nobody was expressing this. In fact, I didn't write a lot of stuff down. I mean, I wrote down, but I didn't share it or talk about it. I didn't think about doing anything because I was positive that everybody was going to find this out as soon as they started taking psychedelics. I thought there's really nothing to write. It's completely obvious. And so somebody more educated than me surely will write a book about it. But you know, these are the funny things that you think about yourself and you judge who you are and the limitations that you put on yourself and other people have put on yourself, on you, you can find the Jay of Judgment and Justice and the Jury and all those things. Because you found this artifact of the middle way. You are judging correctly these proportions. And so it's fascinating to have a mind that sees kind of spatially. And like Lakshmi, she'll show me her pages that she creates or words on it, and immediately I can find extra spaces or, you know, little things. My mind is very good at spatial relationships. And this is why also I drive the way I do. I'm very good at driving. So I've noticed that these ways of seeing are related. If you're very good at spatial relationships, you also have a very good memory, and I have a very good memory. So it's funny to look at words on a page, like someone's writing something, I'm seeing the morphemes inside of the words, and or someone will be talking or complaining about their life, and it's really funny because the answer to their problem is right in their own words. They're using those words to describe it, and it becomes very fascinating for me that in this, it's almost like a subatomic particle way that you're creating your reality with language.
It's like you've cracked the code. I think you have cracked the code.
Yeah. Well, here's I hate to do this to people, but C are related to G's in Hebrew with a letter called Gimel. So you can replace the C of code with a G and just knock the E off. The code is the God. The code is a artifact of your vision, and it's very logical and rational. This is why it's called logos, logic. It's pure logic. And you have to have this balance. You know, you look at the word balance, BA, Spirit, A-L-L-A. The spirit is balanced with this LA morpheme. How do you know the spirit's balanced? You have to measure it some way. They put the measuring instruments inside of the damn word. Balanced. It's why something is of value. V-A-L. The instruments of measuring relationships and value is inside the word value. They left it there for you. So, we were talking about Hallelujah too. I wrote this thing called The Morphemes of Hallelujah on my website. It's really cute. The last line of it, I'm describing what, let's see, where's my regular website? No, it's too complicated for me. it's really finding this AL morpheme, and you find it because you have found this JA morpheme. Those two morphemes, JA and LA, you have to spell Jacob's ladder. And this diagram that I showed you is basically this mythological ladder. It's mythological. In order for you to know if it's logical or not, a myth is logical or not, you have to understand logic, and you have to understand the language of a myth or geometry. That's another weird thing that since I started taking psychedelics, I really understand logos, company logos, why they do what they do.
Oh, do talk about that, will you please?
Well, this is not arbitrary. It's not an accident that they call the symbol of their companies a logo. They're basically hiding the essence in their symbol. And they not only do it in logos, but they do it in buildings and names, nomenclature. The nomenclature of my business, mining, processing, metallurgy, is very metaphysical. You smelt something in a crucible, crossable. The gold falls to the bottom of the crossable. If you looked at a Y-O-U, the letter U, as a crucible, it's in cup, and in this other thing we use in metallurgy called a capel. We impel, we're forcing the gold into this cup. And what it's doing is you're putting a piece of rock inside of a lead blanket, and this bone ash cup sucks the lead in, but it won't suck gold in. So that you get a little gold bead in it, or a silver bead, or platinum, or whatever. And there's an interesting book called The Forge and the Crucible about the early alchemists and metallurgists, related to, strangely enough, shepherds picking up bones and grinding them to make these little cups to refine gold in. Logos. Yeah, so you'll see a logo, and you just assume that it's a drawing, it's a graphic that some graphic artist created. And I've talked to some about their designs, or I've talked to artists about their work. And there's a type of intuition in it. Like if you look at NASA, for example, here's a good one. So you see how this thing goes out at 45 degrees. This trajectory is going out. Strangely, if you look at TRA, it means goat. And the ject means to throw. Why? It's because the goat. is being crucified on the cross and is finding the middle way. And that 45 degrees, so you're on a cross, the intercardinal cross, 4, 5 is the serpent. At 45 degrees, you're crucifying this third ordinate that is a geometric representation of you, the person that's in it. And if you look at NASA's logo, it's this circle with a swish going out at 45 degrees, because in two dimensions, that's how you would show it. Otherwise, it just goes straight through, or going up doesn't look too good. You just made it upside down lollipop. So that's how we show trajectory, is we show it at 45 degrees. This is again why clowns have conical hats, and they tilt them to the right to be like a joker, juggler, jester, joker, all begin with J's. These things are all symbolically related. And a lot of things not only go in logos and stories, but they go in children's toys, like Jack's, like Jacob's Ladder. And what cultures do, like folk cultures, as they're being colonized by a more dominant culture, they will sentimentally, automatically implant esoteric information inside of objects that no one would suspect until their consciousness can see the reason for this thing. Why is it called a jack? Why? What is a jack in a box? What is thinking outside the box? If you take a cube, the last time we talked, you mentioned the word incubator. If you mention a cube, or think about a cube, it's a square, a three-dimensional square. And if you cut the corners of that and lay it down, it creates a Christian cross. It's really wild. And so the jack, this jack idea, because it's related to God, and God is knowledge, and the organization, the Christian church or whatever church, they are writing the definition. They are saying that the devil is bad because it's a polar religion. And that devil is the jack, is the shaman, is the knowledge, is the gainer of knowledge, is the sinner, is the pure sinner, the sincere in the ceremony. And what that person thinks is, this is a myth. You guys are not in charge anymore. You don't know what you're talking about. A judge does not know why. Judge begins with a J. These are all remnants that are not part of a justice system. This is not a justice system. This is a system of denial and persecution and the limitations of your guilt. People are using law not to reconcile relationships, which is why LA, law begins with an L and an A, and why you have all these J words: justice, judge, jury, jurisdiction, adjudication, I adjourn, finally. those are not accidents. This legal system should be an accurate representation of human consciousness and trying to correct human consciousness. You're punishing the mind. And what's interesting to me too is that when you break the code, it's a penal code, as in penis. You are spending 10 to 10, 5 to 10 in the penitentiary. Your punishment is encoded. the whole system of law is encoded. Its nomenclature is encoded. And, you know, this is the funny thing about another thing that is encoded is Jesus says, I have not come here to change the law. I have come here to complete it. This idea that you are comprehending what it is, you see what it is. And the only way you can see what it is you see its finiteness. It's approximation of this geometric perfection that you're holding in the cup of your consciousness. So saying things like this, people say, you're nothing like you look. You're wow. I thought, or whatever. But, you know, these are weird things to say, because what's basically happening is you're holographizing, making holy the objects, the saying, this dispute between the sacred and the profane, and strangely, fane means church, for church, the sacred and the for church. these are ideas. I'm not going to adhere by these ideas. I'm going to be sacred. Fuck that. You know, but you made that up. There's some really interesting things. And mostly what I'm interested in is, besides, you know, explaining to people about these artifacts called letters, and this, I look at letters like bones. If word is God, then letters are his bones. And I get the sense that what's happening is another, besides alchemy, another two dark arts that you're not supposed to practice is geomancy, that I'm seeing the meaning, the esoteric meaning in the forms of letters, the bones of word, throwing bones on the ground, seeing meaning in the positions and shapes. I'm seeing the spirit being born. I'm now involved in necromancy. I'm raising the dead, and the dead is me. I'm my consciousness is expanding, and I'm seeing in this other way. And again, then I see these laws against these ideas of the ancients. Yeah, if you were a secular fiction or a theocratic fiction, you would not want people to do this, because they will know your scam. And if you say anything about it, you're a false prophet. Pro, for, fet, a P, he, and a cross, a pole and a cross, and the sacred masculine. You're speaking for God. And then this strange relationship about time. The definition of prophet is not only to speak for God. I mean, etymologically it is, but surrounding it is this idea that these prophets know the future. And if you psychologically in an altered state start thinking about this idea of a finite time and penetrating the eternal, the divine, suspending this illusion of time, and seeing that consciousness has form, it has limitations, it's a pattern, it's logical. The I Ching very well contains this. There are things in it that are sort of cultural. And there's explanations of, in those days they did this, and you can see the some of the cultural biases. I'm not saying it's perfect. And what's interesting is that, who am I to say the I Ching is perfect? It cracks me up. When I first started reading, I was like, oh my God. And then I would read it on LSD and I go, oh, he's just fucking with me. You know, oh, this is a funny person. And And then you start understanding this Quranic language. Lakshmi has a complaint about my writing. He wants me to write for people. And I want people to come to me and look inside this meaning. Like, why would a fairly reasonable person with a weird beard make such a spectacle of the way to write like this? Well, would anybody care to say why? Would anybody ask me a second question after I told them something they could not find in the dictionary? No. So I don't, and especially now what's going on with the United States and the world, oh my God, my whole attention is transfixed on what's going to happen, because my existence, my very life depends on what happens here. Because I'm not doing this. I'm absolutely not doing this. I'm not going to go along with this at all. So, I mean, I see this as pure evil, what's happening. I mean, it's just incredible. I can't believe it. And, you know, by watching it, I really have gotten an appreciation of the system that we do have. The Constitution it is really incredible. And so, you know, to look back in the past and see that there are people that wrote, a lot of people do things and they don't get a dollar. Vincent van Gogh never sold anything. I think with certain things in certain times, there's a time of receptivity and a time that people can't. It's just so much confusion. I can see it like battering this quote unquote psychedelic renaissance, because there's a lot of competition, and I think there's going to be a big need for it, because I think there's going to be a lot of mental illness with what is about to happen with AI. I mean, it's totally psychedelic, totally diabolical. It's really interesting. If you think about it, in the realm of, we have natural capacities, like finding our way home. And as we use GPS, psychologists already know that our natural ability to navigate space deteriorates. What's the word? Not deteriorates, but you start to lose it. What?
Diminishes.
Yeah, diminishes for sure. And imagine that if you were born now, you would not learn to drive, because the car would drive you. I just don't believe that human beings will survive that type of situation psychologically. I know I wouldn't. You know, I hear Elon Musk talking about going to Mars. Sorry, Elon, you're going to have either a pregnant person or dead people in 6 months in a stainless steel tube going to Mars. That's what you're going to get. You need to send a robot. If you want stuff built there, send robots, because it ain't going to happen. And to be high and to get sensitive to that you're connected to air. You need to breathe. You need to drink. You need to sleep. You're part of the world. It's really wild. The things they're talking about AI, for instance, that you would have your own polymath, something that you're a robot that would do everything for you, and that you couldn't live without, much like our phones. And if you had like an EMP burst or a collapse of civilization, you could literally not function. And I think, you know, I've never killed anything to feed myself. except for fish when I was a little kid, and I didn't like that. And I mean, we're not talking about alphabet, but I'm just talking about other stuff that is kind of related too, is that it's just the maturation of your own awareness about, oh, I do live in kind of a cyborg way, in a cyborg information world. Because I go out and I walk around this little town, Boulder. It's really sweet, nice, too woke, and nothing's going on. And then my real world is listening to these shows that I watch to see what's really going on, not CNN. I love to watch CNN, and I love to watch them suffer. But that's my world now, and trying to fund this project. When that funds, my world will change very drastically, my everyday world. And then someday I'll hopefully be in a good place to write an articulation down. It's sort of, for me, it's like you get a point. I'm going to make a point. How can you expand that like a tag sphere and holographize a death and resurrection experience? And show that these are the elements. You know, you guys, how you say you go on a journey. Here's why journey begins with a J. You're smoking a J. Here's why. I've talked to lots of people that smoke joints, and they've never considered why what they're doing. It hasn't hit them yet what the sacramental part of this, the whole mind part. They're doing what I call just getting high, and they're not evidently getting very high. When I started this, I took 5 grams immediately, and I never smoked a cigarette or anything. I smoked marijuana one time with my girlfriend, and I laughed for 7 hours and woke up on the floor, and I had sore ribs for 3 days. But I didn't connect it with spirituality. I just thought it was really funny. And I definitely see the funny aspects of the hologram, of how truly weird this experience is to be inside of a body. Almost like you take the little scales off of your skin, and they're just like plates, facets of a jewel, and you can be mesmerized by all of these jewels that are you, and you can be convinced that you are you because you have these jewels. But flip a couple away or let some go, and you still see that you are still you. That, oh, these things are these projections of my consciousness, much like religion itself. It's a projection of my consciousness. And my projection is the marriage of the antagonist and the protagonist. And that's my responsibility as a human being, to be aware that I'm what's going on. I'm projecting all of this stuff into the world. I'm understanding what the projection is. I'm not lost in it.
Jack, what do you think about the idea that some people say that we are in a simulation?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that idea. I would not... I mean, if they're talking about the artifact and that we're walking around in the artifact, I can say that, well, the simulation is that these things are similar, symbolic of. So, yeah, you're an idiot walking around in a simulation of the divine mind that you don't have access to at the moment. So you're stuck with the artifacts. You're stuck in time. We're in time, and you're always going to be in this simulation. Things that are similar, things that are approximate, but they're not geometrically perfect like your consciousness. I think it's kind of even funny in telling that, and you can think of the implication of this, is that we always talk about something being perfect. We think we know what perfect is. That's fascinating. I mean, concentrate on perfect. That's an interesting thing that we think we know what we're talking about. In my business relationships, where everything is contingent upon something else these days, I see that this is another manifestation of this loss of integrity with language, and simultaneously the integrity, the integration into this anointing of your own consciousness, this Christ consciousness idea. These things are part and parcel. This is the consequence of saying things that are not accurate and are not true. And because I spend most of my time in an altered state, almost every night, I'm optimizing my consciousness. I'm not figuring out ways to cheat people or to postpone or placate. Those things are not part of my vocabulary, I just don't have time for something inaccurate. And if I say something inaccurate to somebody, it's disrespectful. I'm disrespecting them. In my journey, I have to suffer the consequences of misleading a person. So I'm not going to do it. It's not in my palate. I don't do that. And I don't do it because I honor this sacred experience. And the consequence of doing that is you become sacred. You're manifesting, integrating this stuff into your being, trying to be a suitable candidate for a doctor to say that you have a Christ complex. But that's how it works for me. That's the reconciliation of my consciousness. This, the key of life, the marriage of maleness and femaleness, the joining together of the hemispheres. This is the reconciliation of my daily consciousness, the living in the approximation of being me, coming from someplace and expanding. It's spatial. You're expanding your consciousness. X, crisscross, Christ cross, pan is everywhere. You're expanding. A horned God, you're expanding. And this is another thing that people in normal conversation don't want to deal with, or only know how to deal with it one way. It's polar. So if you mention anything about the dark side and the symbolism of the dark side, you claim you know the difference between good and evil. But what are the details? Well, the devil's in the details. And you have to fully, this is the idea of being full, the UL of light, the fullness of light in your mind. In LIG to bind 10, the completion of a cycle meant your mind, the fullest of light in your mind, your enlightenment.
Jack covers a lot more ground in hour two. For access to the full episode, you can subscribe at themushroomsapprentice.com. Hope to see you there.